I've decided that as I get older, my voice gets that gravelly thing, which I've always had, but it's getting worse as I get older.
Yeah.
Which is does not bode well for my podcasting career.
Or trying to play an 18, 20-year-old on a Christmas special.
You know what else is my acting ability or lack thereof?
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about a boogie woogie, and I'm going to play one.
I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That having been said, welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. We've got a treat for you. Rather, we've got two treats for you. One is a flashback, way back. We should call this one a flash way back.
A flash way back.
Is it 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Which is unbelievable because that would have to be like our first half a dozen or maybe our first six shows.
Yes.
Wait, I thought you found the show. You don't know when it's from?
I got it. I got it ready. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, that was from season one. That was all the way back to episode 33 of season one.
Okay. All right. Which would have been 2015, probably. The reason I thought 2014 is somewhere in the clip I say something about 2014, but it's a flashback within the flashback.
It's so meta.
And that's when the Don't Panic Radio Show disappeared in a cloud of its own logic.
Cue the harp.
So, the dating thing. We talked a few weeks ago about being set up on blind dates.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that say? The reason I won't set people up on blind dates, I made an exception with you and MP Cavalier. But I knew you guys would hit it off. I just knew it.
And we did.
Plus, you're both like nines or tens in my book. So you can never go wrong setting up a nine or a ten with another nine.
You know
me
so well.
So wait, let me do the radio thing. So have you ever had a blind date that maybe didn't go like you would have wanted it to?
Funny you should ask. My blind date story. This is the only blind date I was ever on. About 20 years ago, I was in a writer's club. It was great. Some of my best friends to this day were members of it. Well, there was someone there that we had this weird May-December relationship without there being any May-December relationship involved in it.
She was like December of the following year. You were like May 2014.
Yes,
she was like December 26th. She was like 3008 and you were like 2000 and late.
I don't know why she felt compelled to set me up with a friend of hers. And all I knew about her was she had a really good phone sex voice, and she was a redhead. Which, redheads can go one of two ways. There's never like a middle ground.
Like, yeah, she was a redhead, kind of average looking. Nope.
Never gonna happen.
She's a redhead and hideous, or redhead and hot.
Because the ancient astronaut is all or nothing when it comes to redheads. That was like his drawing line. So anyway, the fateful day occurred, and I'm minding my own affairs, and there's a knock at my door. I opened the door. There was like this fucking beautiful redhead standing in my doorway, and I'm like, thank you, God. And I started talking to her. Then she pulls out fucking Watchtower paraphernalia and tells me she's a Jehovah's Witness. And I'm like,
oh, God.
I'm like, wait a minute. I started laughing. I'm like, no way. I said, there is no way you're a Jehovah's Witness. I said, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, where's your gigantic big four-door Buick sedan? Oh, fuck. It's sitting in the parking lot. I'm like, oh.
So that is one of the funniest goddamn things I've ever heard.
Well, it's true. It was perfect.
You never told me that part.
I couldn't write this shit.
And then Alan Funt jumped out from behind a bush. So you open the door. Standing in your doorway was...
I can't even...
Did you have that light skin?
And the hair caught like the waning light just right.
It was like strawberries surrounding alabaster.
That's right. Strawberries, I want to put my... in. I'm not beyond that.
So just as you're thinking about how much you're going to owe your friend that set you up with her...
Right.
For the rest of your life, you're going to wash her feet every morning.
I would do things to her feet that are illegal in several states, including Alaska and Hawaii.
Chapter one ends. You're sitting around 10 minutes later. Another knock and or ring
at
the door.
It was a knock.
You're like, hey, she's probably also a beautiful redhead.
Right. It is the exact 180 degree opposite experience. I'm not a shallow person, but I just remember thinking, all right, you can do this. You talk to her. She seems pretty cool. Go out and have some fun. She's like, do you care if we stop by, I don't even remember the name of the used car lot, because I want to check out this car and I need a guy along to basically, so I don't get taken advantage of. I'm like, lady, you're talking to the wrong guy, because...
I take chicks with me to buy cars.
So here's
cars,
what I did.
So I don't get
I walked age. Around. I kicked the tires on the car. Didn't say nothing. And mean mugged the guy as he was trying to sell his car. We took it for a test drive. Dropped the guy off. We go to this, you know, I can't even call it a restaurant. It was a diner. The whole time we're sitting there looking at the menu, she's talking about how she doesn't eat much. And she has a glandular problem.
Of course.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, you know, I understand, you know, whatever. Well, the waiter comes around, and she orders, like, an 8-egg omelet and, like, a chocolate malted.
Bring me a bucket.
Yeah, and like, a chocolate malted and, like, some hash browns. Well, I ordered a salad, you know, because I figure all my money's going to her food. So I better eat something small. The whole time we're like sitting there waiting for the food to show up, she's going on and on and on about her ex-boyfriend. And I'm like, this is not what you talk about on a first date.
True.
You know, and she's going on and on about how she still loved him and blah, blah, blah. Oh. And I'm doing the thing. Eventually, the food shows up, and, like, she ate it like it was the first time she'd eaten in a week. I mean, with one big suck. You know, she let me have a little of the chocolate malted. And we're talking, like, the big metal jars that they bring out. You know, like they could put, like, ashes in this thing. It's an urn. I watched in amazement and bemusement as she sucked down this chocolate malted.
There is something to be said. The... larger women are better at sucking in general because they try harder. Well,
I'm almost positive she was great at it.
But I'll never know because I won't eat the filthy motherfucker.
That's right. Finally, it had enough. I excused myself from the table. I went to the bathroom, came out, went up to the cash register, paid the bill, and fucking left. I'm taking you out. I'm paying for everything. I'm not expecting anything on the first date, but what I am expecting is for you not to be talking about your ex-boyfriend that you still love. Well,
right.
I basically split, I called Carl, and we went out and hung out the rest of the night.
You could have called Carl and said, all right, there's this girl at that diner. She's all by herself. Go sit down. Tell her your name's Paul, because she didn't pay enough attention to me to notice the difference.
That's right. So yeah, that's like the one
pathetic.
The one, okay, there's like a minute level of guilt I feel for it, but I didn't leave her with the bill.
You know, I wonder whatever happened to her. I think, and I think she probably is on keto right now, or the HCG diet. Those are the two really popular ones right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
She's probably lost 125 pounds. So now she's just mildly overweight. Oh, you know, a question I never thought to ask you during that show is, was she funny?
No. I had that standard back then, too. No, she was not funny.
Okay, so what about the girl you actually went on the date with? Was she funny?
Wait.
You see what I did there? You see what I did there? I switched on you right in the middle. So, here, you know, the beautiful redhead with the Buick sedan.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you could track her down.
why would I want to? Well, she's probably moved from
save her.
Probably gone from being a Jehovah's Witness to a Scientologist by now.
Well, it's good to look back on things now and then.
And laugh at other people's expense.
Yeah. True. Well, you're certainly doing better now. That's for sure.
I like to think so.
Pretty funny story. I love that story. Almost as funny as the Shazak story, which we'll do sometime this summer.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll save it. Save it for the summer.
Change the channel, Marge.
All right, moving on. I had a thought. I frequently think of things while I'm cooking dinner.
Yeah.
I know some people, it's in the shower. For me, it's while I'm cooking dinner. And tonight, I almost burned some tater tots while I had to hurry up and write down what I was thinking.
You love your fucking tater tots.
Well, you know what's funny? They're not tater tots. They look like tater tots. But due to international copyright laws, they're not. They're called potato puffs.
Oh, yeah.
And they're... They're like organic, non-GMO, you know, hippie-fied potato puffs. We had the conversation at dinner tonight. We're like, why can't they just call them tater tots? And it's like maybe some kind of trademark thing. And the kids are like, well, we have tater tots at school. And they call them tater tots, and it's lowercase, not uppercase. I was like, well, I don't think Orida is going to go sue the school. But now that we've put it out there on the airwaves, mm-hmm. you know Orida listens to the show. They're probably like, Orida's probably like, Orida, we got us a lawsuit. Goodness sakes alive, looks like we got ourselves a lawsuit.
Come on, join our lawsuit. Get in our way.
Big man, this here's a rubber duck. We ain't going to pay no legal fees.
10-4.
Yep. They're going to go sue this tiny independent school in the middle of Indianapolis. I've said too much already.
Stop talking.
Now, so while I was cooking the tater tots and spaghetti, for some reason I thought of Icarus.
Uh-huh.
Icarus, as you know, as our listeners are likely aware, his father made for him is a Greek mythological character. His father made for him some wings made out of like bird feathers and wax, right? But his father warned him, don't fly too high lest the heat of the sun will melt the wax, you know, and ruin your wings. And don't fly too low lest the moisture from the sea will get the feathers wet and then you won't be able to fly, right? So old Icarus is like, screw that. I know what I'm doing. And flew too close to the sun. Melted the wax in his wings, and then he crashed and died. So, you know, it's hubris.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that we in the Midwest don't typically suffer from, but but if you go to enough leadership development classes and you read enough self-help books, you may take on some hubris, or you may think you did anyway. And sometimes you might feel like Icarus flying too close to the sun, crashing back to Earth, right? And then the other Greek mythological character that I had never really known what it was Sisyphus.
Ooh, whoa, man, you better get a shot for that. You got the Sisyphus.
I heard y'all talking about Sisyphus. I got some Sisyphus.
Is that 30,000 year old Macedon?
You're damn right it is. You say 30,000? It's 130,000. What's wrong with you? I'm older than those Greek dudes.
Well, you know, you 30,000 would have been older than the Greek dudes.
I don't know nothing about no Greek dudes. All I know is one time I knew a guy went to Sisyphus.
So you knew a guy with this Greek character I'm about to talk about?
What Greek character?
I'm talking about the Greek character Sisyphus.
I don't know Greek Sisyphus. That sounds even worse. You ever hear the Greek fire? I think you're talking about chlamydia.
Chlamydia? What?
Chlamydia. You know, Greek fire.
Like I was saying before he called, Sisyphus messed up and somehow, I don't know how, but Sisyphus somehow messed up and as punishment had to push this boulder to the top of this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And like just before he gets to the top of the hill, he's like, oh, I'm about to make it. And then the boulder just gets too heavy and it rolls all the way back down.
Mm-hmm.
And Sisyphus has to start over again. So it's taken on this word called, if you ever hear anybody talking about a Sisyphean task. He's calling back. I thought I hung up on him.
Hello. Now you're talking about the sissy task. I just want to say, I'm an enlightened 130,000-year-old Mastodon. I don't think you should be calling people sissy.
You misunderstand. It's not sissy task. It's Sisyphean task.
I don't care, sissified, sissy this, sissy that, sissified task. I don't think any task is sissified. You just do you. You just be you, be who you are.
Well, 130,000-year-old Mastodon, for an old dude, you do seem pretty enlightened.
Who you calling old?
It's in your name.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know. I had a brother, like an older brother, who was like 131,000-year-old Mastodon.
Did he upend human history?
No, he stay over on the east side.
Shit.
Speaking of the east side, that while I was thinking of Sisyphus,
mm-hmm.
and like rolling, I wasn't thinking rolling the boulder up a mountain. I was thinking rolling it up a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And the way my mind works is I was thinking, as he's trying to roll this boulder up the hill, I'm like, wow, there's a whole lot of struggling just to get that boulder up to the top of that hill. And then I realized I'm not Icarus. I'm not Sisyphus.
Wait, let me guess.
I thought I hung up on you.
No, you didn't hang up on me. Let me guess who you think you are.
Okay, go ahead.
That white dude from George Jefferson's show.
There was actually two white dudes. Yeah. Which one?
Not the British one, not the English dude, the other one, the fat one.
You know, I don't think he was fat. I actually think if you look back on it now, you'd look at him and go, no, he doesn't seem fat. Kind of like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, I knew that dude.
Yeah, of course you did. Of course you knew that.
I knew him when he was just a baby, that Fred Flintstone. He wasn't fat.
Yeah, but you know what? When I was a kid, he was portrayed as fat. It's like if you look at Jackie Gleason. Right? In The Honeymooners.
Yeah, I knew that dude, too.
You knew everybody. I get it. You and the vampire Lestat. You knew everybody.
Yeah, I knew that dude, too. He didn't look nothing like Tom Cruise.
Anyway, do we have to... Can I just hang up on...
Yeah, you can hang up on
it. Hang up on it.
Anyway. God, man, he is so annoying sometimes. He should just let me talk about who he knows.
He's one of those old guys that call like sound off.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I knew that dude. That's my impression of 130,000-year-old Mastodon. I know it.
Yeah, it's pretty uncanny. I
don't think I sound like him actually. Anyway, my point was, once I got in my head, a whole lot of struggling to get up that hill with that boulder, I thought. And now I'm speaking directly to the listeners. We are not Icarus. We are not Sisyphus. I think those characters were invented for a culture that had a problem with overconfidence and a problem with, a problem with people thinking they could do anything just by doing it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't think we have that issue. I think our issue is more... too many people don't believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a down day, which, you know, it's a lot of days for me, I'm famous for complaining about things and about my life in general. But it might help. It helps me a little bit to think of it as, no, we're not Icarus or Sisyphus. We're George Jefferson. I mean, you may not be George Jefferson up in the sky over on the east side, but you might be in the stage where you're still going through a whole lot of struggling just to get up that hill. But you will get up the hill. You're not Sisyphus. You're not going to roll back down the hill. You might a few times, but you just, that's part of the struggle. It's ups and downs. It's like the stock market. It's, you know, the stock market eventually goes up, but sometimes it goes down. But you can't just sell all your stocks because it went down. You're not supposed, you know, just keep pushing, keep struggling, and you'll make it up that hill. And, you know, for me, sometimes I think, well, what's most important to me in my life? Well, it's my kids and my family. And I think, well, doing pretty well there, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'd say so.
You know, you look at, like, think about your kids and our listeners. Think about your kids for a second if you have kids. You're doing a damn good job raising them. And what's more important than that?
Not much.
Not much. Yeah, exactly. And in addition, whatever struggle you're going through right now is part of what you have to go through to get to the east side and to get that New York apartment, right? Up in the sky,
mm-hmm.
right? And you'll get there. Just takes a little time. So I'm going to be on somebody else's podcast that we're recording on Friday. And she does this thing, which I like, which she does the interview. And then at the end, she asks the same five questions every time.
Hmm.
One of the questions is, what do you know now that you wish you had known 10 years ago? I don't struggle with that question like, oh, I wish I had an answer. No, I struggle with it in that I don't really care for it. And I've been thinking about like how I'm going to answer that question. And it's probably going to be something like, I'm probably going to do it like this. Buy Apple stock. You know, go borrow $1,000, however you can find it, or $100 even, whatever you can. Don't pay the rent for 1 month. And instead of paying rent, you know, buy that much Apple stock. Seriously, though, what I would rather think about is, what am I going to know in 10 years that I might as well know now, right? Because that causes my brain to fast forward 10 years, right? And when you think about what are you probably going to know in 10 years? Let's see, my kids will be in their 20s. Who knows what we'll be doing? We'll have a lot fewer expenses. Presumably they will be making their own livings by that time, right?
Yeah, that's the dream.
And my guess is, who knows what could happen, right? Tragedy could strike. Hopefully not. Shit could hit the fan. But assuming, you know, playing the odds, what is most likely to happen is things are going to work out just fine. And the thing we're probably going to know in 10 years that we wish we knew now is that we're worried about things that aren't going to be a problem, you know, or that they are going to be a problem, but it's not going to be nearly as bad as we think. Right.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my message to the listeners today is, I know we're all going through struggles. Lord knows I am. But I've read, in fact, between when I wrote that Icarus, Sisyphus, George Jefferson post, between then and now, I actually read about another family that got some pretty tough news about one of their kids. It was diagnosed with diabetes, type 1, right? Just over the weekend. And I'm like, I'm not one of those people that says, oh, it could always be worse. Because, yeah, it could always be worse. You know, an asteroid could hit tomorrow.
You don't have to say that because you know it.
Yeah, you don't have to say it. And it doesn't matter because, yes, things could be worse, but who cares? Because we all have our own struggles and we're trying to deal with suffering and struggles in our own life. It doesn't do us any good to know other people are dealing with struggles and suffering in their lives too.
Somehow,
you know,
the misery loves company thing doesn't quite work.
Mm-mm. No, it does not, you know. But that having been said, I, you know, While I'm not that person that says it could always be worse, I will say that as long as you're breathing, as long as you're on this side of the dirt, you know, you're moving forward. You're headed up that hill. And
yeah,
tomorrow you'll be a few feet higher. Day after tomorrow, you might be a few feet lower. But just keep climbing that hill, because there is a New York apartment out there for you. And it's on the east side. And it's in the sky.
And just because it's a theme song don't mean it ain't true.
And that's all I have to say about that. No, didn't you have something to say about that too? I thought you had.
When I read your post, and I immediately wrote this whole big explanation about being a Sam from Quantum Leap. Because, you know, every time I wake up, I got to figure out how the world works, and I usually have to fix something.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, wait, he said sitcom. So I scratched that, and I was getting ready to type when you called me to do this. But my 80s sitcom identification, I also thought about saying Bill Cosby, but no. The next one that came to mind after Bill Cosby was Bob Newhart.
This here's Daryl. This here's my other brother, Daryl. Wait, no, that's right. This here's my brother, Daryl. This is my other brother, Daryl.
And that's exactly why, because I feel like I'm surrounded by idiots most days.
The Bob Newhart one, it surprised me. I don't know why. It shocked me, because I wasn't expecting it. because Bob Newhart in you know, when he's the hotel guy, he takes everything in stride, right? And yet he's passively insulting, right?
Yeah.
And sort of like I knew what I was getting myself into. Well, I guess I could see that.
I would say, because you're.
I could see you being Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
Running the hotel, dealing with the idiots. But my George Jefferson, and I think I've probably talked about this on the show before. I do feel like George Jefferson, like me, he's sort of punching above his weight class. You know, he's a black man from the ghetto living in the white man's world. And that's how I feel. I feel like a black man from the ghetto living in the white man's world. Yet Bentley comes along and the other white dude, whose name I forget, who's married to the black lady, you know, they're nice guys and everything. And since they're white dudes on a sitcom in the 80s, they're supposed to be. This is the brilliance of the Jeffersons, right? George is okay.
That could be a whole show.
Arguably, Wheezy is the smartest person in the whole show, right? But George being the main character makes him a close second, right?
Mm-hmm.
The maid is pretty smart too. Yeah. All right, let's put it this way: the African Americans are all the smartest people on the show, right?
Right.
And in the 70s or the 80s, it started in the 70s, didn't it?
Into
the 80s.
Yeah.
That was not the norm, right? And so it really is a flip the script kind of show ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think I'm George Jefferson.
You certainly can dance like him. So.
Don't forget, we do this every 2 weeks on Thursday morning. By the way, I started doing Instagram lives, and I think I didn't have the settings right. They should go over to Facebook automatically now. Okay. I'm doing them on Instagram because I heard Instagram was a thing.
Yeah.
And that I should start using that.
My daughter told me I was too old for Instagram, and I should stick to Twitter because it's mostly old people complaining about things. Like, isn't that Facebook?
You're like, does that make me Archie Bunker? I think I got the settings right now that it'll automatically go over to Facebook so that all my old friends can see it.
Yeah, because this is the first I've heard of it, dude, and I thought we were close.
Well, there's a lot about me you don't know. So I'm going to record a live video after every Life Science Effect recording.
Okay.
And it's like going to be a minute or two. and who knows what I'll talk about, but mainly I'll talk about having just finished doing a recording of the Life Science Effect. So I'm going to try to see, I'll try to find that video and post it just so people can see it. So I'm recording this Friday, I'm recording two shows for the Life Science Effect and a third show for this other person's show called Beyond the Stethoscope, which is a show mainly for veterinarians.
Okay.
So that should be pretty interesting. We'll see how it goes.
Does she want to interview your dog?
She may end up interviewing my dog, whether she knows it or not. They tried to kill me. I'm not dead yet.
It's like Papillon.
For Icarus, for Sisyphus, for the 130,000-year-old mastodon, for George Jefferson, and most importantly, for Paul Schultz. I think I forgot a few people. Bob Newhart, the guy from Quantum Leap. I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing and you just heard was true.